shepherd is a participle, actually, in the text. And it actually means that the Lord is the one who goes on shepherding us. That, you know, he's just not our shepherd for a little while. He's just not a shepherd who stops at some point. But the Lord is the one, David said, who goes on shepherding us. And what a powerful concept that is, because there'll never be a time that if you are a child of God, that there'll never be a time when the Lord won't be your shepherd.
Founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Yahweh Rohi, The Lord is My Shepherd, from our series, The Names of God. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Yahweh Rohi, The Lord is My Shepherd.
The sheep realize that when they have a shepherd that they're going to be protected. The sheep realize that when they have a shepherd, that they are going to be guided and directed. The sheep realize that when they have a shepherd, that they are going to be fed. The sheep realize that when they have a shepherd, that things are going to be taken care of. And so, my brothers and sisters, what I want us to think about as we think about Yahweh Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd, what do we have? What do you have? If you sit there and ask today, well, you know, Pastor Glaze, you say that I got a shepherd. You say that the Lord is my shepherd. Well, what does that mean? What does that amount to? You know, and you know, the blessing is that, you know, we don't have to look anywhere else in Scripture to find out what that means, because he tells us right here what it means when he says the Lord is my shepherd. And so the first thing that we have when the Lord is our shepherd, we have divine provision. Divine provision. David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's almost like David is sticking out his chest and he's bragging. He's looking at all the nations around him that are worshiping the stars, that are worshiping the moon, that are worshiping the sun, that's worshiping agriculture, that's worshiping the river, that's worshiping the sea. And David sees all these false gods being worshiped. And David shouts out, the Lord is my shepherd. Man, that's something to brag about. You know, we read in other places in the Bible that people worship gods of stone and of wood that can do nothing. That we serve the true and the living God. And David said, Yahweh, this great I am. And he couples that with the word shepherd. Yahweh is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not begin to lack any good thing that I need. You know, sometimes you might think that you have needs and you wonder how you're going to make it from day to day. You may wonder how you're going to make it from paycheck to paycheck. Let me tell you something. If the Lord is your shepherd, he got your back. The Lord got your back. I've shared a story before about when my kids were growing up. I took two of my kids into the 7-11 to get drinks. And they wanted some fountain drinks, and I wanted something else. So they got their drinks, and they went back out to the car. And I got what I was coming there for, and I had given them the money to pay for their drinks. And so I came to the register, and the guy said, that'll be so-and-so, so-and-so. And I knew it didn't cost that much. And I said, how come you're overcharging me for this? I said, I know that those drinks that my kids bought didn't cost that much. He said, yeah, but there was one little boy that came in here. He got something more than a drink, and he didn't have enough money. But he said to me, you see that guy over there? That's my dad. And when he comes to the register, he'll take care of it. And isn't that the way God is? Isn't that the way God is? That even when we come up short, even when we lack, God is there to provide for us. God is there to make sure we get what we need. The Lord is my shepherd. And I like the way, as we read in the Hebrew, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not begin to lack any good thing. I shall not even begin to lack. So what do we have when the Lord is our shepherd? We have divine provision. The second thing that we have when the Lord is our shepherd, we have divine peace. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Look at those two peaceful scenarios, green pastures and still waters. You know, if you think about our day sometimes when we deal with kids, right? When we deal with people on our job, when we deal with traffic, when we deal with actually doing the things on our job that we're supposed to do, what is it like? It's like rush, 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 right? It's rush, rush, rush. You know, now we got to rush to get our kids to school. You know, we got to rush to make sure that they get picked up, you know, and so our lives sometimes can consist of rushing. And so in this rushing, you know what that's like? That's like going to a river and saying, okay, well, let me see if I can get some time in for the Lord, right? Let me see if I can spend a little time with the Lord in the midst of all this rushing. And so what do? We go down to get a drink only to find out that the drink is coming from a river. And we're trying to lap the water. We're trying to take the water in our mouth. And all the time, the river is rushing, hitting us in our eyes, hitting us in our head. And we can't even get a good drink because all this rushing that's going on. But what does God do? God says what? Slow down. Slow down. Be still. And know that I'm God. And then as we slow down and as we come into his presence, what does he do? He leads us to the quiet waters. He leads us to the still waters, where we can come to the still waters and we can drink until our soul is satisfied. We can drink until we, you know, what's that one song say? Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Feed me till I want no more. And when we come to God in those quiet times, not in those rushing times when the river is raging, but we come where he leads us to those still, quiet waters, and we can drink till our soul is satisfied. And we can get up with restoration in our soul. We can get up with peace in our soul. And Lord, we know that no matter what goes on around us, you know, everything is going to be all right. You know, I'm talking, and you know, saints, y'all know I don't get political, right? So I stay away from politics. But just in me talking to people, you know, on one side, you know, people are concerned, man, if so-and-so gets in, you know, this is going to happen and that's going to happen. And on the other side, people are concerned, you know, if so-and-so gets in and that group of people get in, then this is going to happen. But you know what? I got a peace. I mean, I'm going to study the candidates. You know, I'm going to see who lines up with the scripture. You know, I'm going to do all that. But in the end, when all is said and done, oh, I'm getting ready to preach now. I'm getting ready to preach. That no matter who's in there, God is still on the throne. God is still in control. So I'm going to do my due diligence now. I'm not neglecting my responsibility and my diligence. But in the end, I got a peace. That God is still on the throne, and that he raises one up and he sets another down. And that promotion doesn't come from the north or the south or the east, but promotion comes from the Lord. And so, saints, we need to have a peace about no matter what happens in life situations, no matter what happens in life circumstances. In the 46th Psalm, it's so, though the mountains be carried into the sea, though the rivers swell, though the mountains shake, And so in Psalm 46, you know, it talks about all the devastating situations in life, hurricanes, earthquakes, tornadoes, tsunamis, all that. And it says that in the midst of all that, that from the throne of God, that there's a river that flows through all that turmoil. And you know what it says? That river is undisturbed. That river is still at peace. Why? Whew. Because God is in the middle of the river. God is in the river. And saints, if we get in the river where the peace of God is, no matter what breaks loose around us, that we can still have the peace of God. And what do you have when the Lord is your shepherd? You've got divine provisions. You've got divine peace. And then the third thing, you got divine providence. And what does that say? He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I like that word providence. It comes from two words, the word pro and video. And what does it mean? It means to see before. Ooh. God, he sees before us. And what does he do? He leads us in the path of righteousness. God is not going to lead us down the evil way. God is not going to lead us down the wicked way. But if we put our hand in God's hand, if we hold on to his unchanging hand, that the Lord will lead us in the path of righteousness. That's divine providence. Like I said, I like that word, pro and video, that God sees before. He sees the road. And he can make the crooked places straight, and he can make the rough places smooth. He leads us in the path of righteousness. That if I hold on to his hand, God's unchanging hand, that he's going to guide me down the path of righteousness. And all I need to do is realize that, Father, you're my shepherd. Lord, you're my shepherd. Sometimes I don't know which way to go. Lord, sometimes I don't know which road to travel. Lord, sometimes I don't know which highway to pick, but you know, Lord, and I'm trusting you to guide me and direct me, because just like the sheep, the shepherd leads the sheep through the fields. The shepherd leads the sheep through the valley of darkness. The shepherd leads the sheep along the cliffs and the hillsides. The shepherd leads them, and he guides them to that place where he wants them to go. Divine providence. Yahweh Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. And then I like this fourth thing, and that is what I call divine protection. Divine protection. And this is a verse that I was praying. My wife has a niece, in her late 40s, and she is in a hospital and on a ventilator. And they told my wife texted me and said at 3 o'clock they're going to take her off the ventilator. And you know, it just grieves my heart. And I had the opportunity to talk to her. My wife had the opportunity to talk to her. And we made sure of her salvation. You know, we made sure that she knew Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. And so when my wife texted me to say they're going to take her off the ventilator, you know, I had texted her back a prayer. And in the prayer, I said that even though she's walking through the valley of the shadow of death, because that's where she's at right now, right? As a matter of fact, there's 2 hours difference, so they haven't taken her off yet. But when they take her off, you know, she's going to be walking through what? The valley of the shadow of death. And I pray that, you know, as she goes through the valley of the shadow of death, that God would walk with her. God would counsel her. God would give her peace. God would hold her hand as she walks through the valley of the shadow of death. And then, you know what I put at the end of the prayer? And after she walks through the valley of shadow of death, that God would bring her into glory, right? That when she closes her eyes after walking through the valley of the shadow of death, that she's going to open her eyes in the fullness of the Lord. What a powerful thing. And so the Lord, when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that the Lord protects us. That, you know, our enemies can't do anything against us. You know, people are, sometimes we worry about things that we shouldn't even worry about. You know, we worry about what other people say about us. You know, now should be concerned if it's something that we could do something about, right? We need to be concerned if we can do something about it. But, you know, we worry about things. And God says that I'm here to protect you. I'm here to watch over you. I'm here to keep you safe. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. That when the enemy sees the rod and the staff in the hand of the shepherd, if they got good sense, they're going to stay where they're at, right? Why? Because they see the rod and the staff in God's hands, those things that protect us, those things that keep us safe, that they're in the hand of God. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And then we go on to see that there's divine preparation. Divine preparation. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Look at three things real quick from there. That the first thing he says, thou preparest a table in the presence of my enemies. In the book by Keller, a shepherd looks at the 23rd Psalm. He talks about how that the shepherd leads the sheep to the pastures where they can eat, right? And that some of the predators of the sheep, the wild animals that want to get to the sheep, that they're looking down and they're seeing the sheep graze in these pastures. And so he says that's one of the meanings of thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies, that while the sheep eat from the green grass, that all the enemy can do is just sit there and watch. Why? As long as the shepherd is there, that they can't do anything to attack them, or they can't do anything to come after them. Whoa, that's some divine pleasure right there. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. Divine pleasures, that God anoints us with oil. You know, in the book, Keller talks about the fact that sometimes sheep will butt heads, right? And as they butt heads, that it can injure or kill one of the sheep and even disturb the rest of the flock. And so what the shepherd would do is go and put oil on the forehead of the sheep so that as they butt heads, they would just kind of slide off that the impact. And that God delights in us so much that he anoints us with oil so that when we run into friction, and whether it's friction with the enemy or friction with other saints, that we are anointed with the Holy Spirit, that when we make contact, that God just allows his anointing oil to allow us to slip off of the other person. Man, that's powerful. You know, and when I think about, you know, throughout the day, the number of times that we can get into conflict, the number of times we can get into conflict, that if we've been anointed with the anointing oil of the Lord, that when we have those confrontations and conflicts, that what happens? We just slide right off. Why? Because we've been anointed with oil. He says, my cup runs over. I like the one explanation of my cup runs over. We're talking about divine pleasures now, right? Yahweh Rohi, the Lord provides for me divine pleasures. You know, it said that when somebody was traveling, that they could stop by a certain individual's house, and that, you know, that individual, you know, back in the Middle Eastern times of Jesus' day, and that person was obligated to provide for them a meal. Now, how would you like that? Somebody just show up in your house and you got to provide for them a meal. You know, a lot of us wouldn't be too happy about that. But, you know, that was one of the customs of the day. So you would provide the meal, and then it would be getting along in the day and getting into the evening. And so, you know, the person might be concerned about the traveler. Well, where am I going to stay at? And so at the end of the meal, the host would put a cup on the table, and the host would begin to pour water into the cup. And if he poured the cup about halfway and stopped, you remember that song by Ray Charles? Hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back? No. You know, so if he didn't fill the cup up, that means it's time to hit the road. That, you know, as they say, I don't know where you're going, but you can't stay here. Right? You know, so the person would have to leave. But if the host wanted the person to stay, he would take the water and he would pour the water in the cup. And the cup would rise, the water would rise to the top of the cup. And then it would begin to overflow and spill over onto the table. And that was a sign to the guests that you're welcome to stay. That it's all right for you to stay. You know, that this is the hospitality that I want to show you. And so God gives us divine pleasure, you know, in the fact that our cups run over. And God lets us know that, you know, he delights us being in his presence. He delights taking care of us. He delights doing exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think. That's the kind of God that we serve. That's the kind of shepherd that we have, that he pours into our cup until they overflow. And then not only do we have divine preparation, but we see in the end that we have divine pleasures. He said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Just think about it. Goodness and mercy follow you while you're here. That as you go from one place to another and you turn around and look, goodness and mercy are with you. You know, I do a teaching on the armor of God. And I used to teach that when we go to battle, that we can't turn around because God has only given us armor, you know, for the front side. But I've changed my thoughts on that. You know, there's another reason that I've changed my thought. But one of the reasons that I changed my thought is that with the armor of God on front, goodness and mercy in the back, right? Goodness and mercy. So God has promised that he would take care of our rear side, right? And a part of that taking care of it is goodness and mercy that God provides for us. And so when we think about what do I have when the Lord is my shepherd? Divine provisions. I have divine peace. I have divine providence. I have divine protection. I have divine preparation. And then I have divine pleasures when the Lord is my shepherd. As I conclude, the story is told of a banquet, and there was a bunch of celebrities at this banquet, and there was an actor there that knew the 23rd Psalm, and someone asked the actor to come up and recite the 23rd Psalm. He came up, recited the 23rd Psalm, and the people rose to their feet and just began to applaud. And then he said that, now, there's a pastor here, old black pastor, and he asked him, he said, I want him to come up and quote the psalm. So the pastor made his way up front. He quoted the 23rd Psalm, and he quoted it with brokenness in his voice. He quoted it with trembling and reverence. And when he got finished quoting the 23rd Psalm, there was not a dry eye in the house. Afterwards, somebody asked him, what's the difference? You know, you quoted, they asked the actor, what's the difference? You quoted the 23rd Psalm and everybody stood up and applauded. He quoted the 23rd Psalm and everybody broke out in tears. And the actor said, I know the 23rd Psalm, but he knows the shepherd of the 23rd Psalm. And so I'm here to ask you today, Yahweh Rohi, do you know the shepherd of the 23rd Psalm? Do you know the shepherd of the 23rd Psalm? Let us pray.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Yahweh Jireh, the Lord is my provider, from our series, The Names of God. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Yahweh Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Yahweh Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Yahweh Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Lays. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at PO Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at PO Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.